Thanks for coming this afternoon. Welcome to our session. We're actually glad that you made your way all this way to be with us. So we're pretty excited that you're here today, and especially being the last session of the day. So thanks. My name is Christy Bernards, and I am the technology concierge at WinTech. And speaking with me today is Brad Vines, and he is our IT director at WinTech. Now, this is not a technical presentation today. Today is a case study on how we changed our mindsets and behaviours, and on how WinTech has become an example of transformational IT in action. Transformation is profound, fundamental change, altering the very nature of something. Transformational change is both radical and sustainable. Something that is transformed can never go back to the way it was before.
Thanks, Christy. I think you've set the scene really well for us today. Before we dive into our story, though, I just wanted to introduce you to WinTech, short for the Waikato Institute of Technology. One of the top technical institutions in New Zealand, obviously based in the Waikato. Hamilton is where our main campus is, and we've just opened a new campus in the north of Waikato, Rotokoti, which is trades in engineering. It's all about flexible learning. It's all about project-based learning. We have multiple different classes actually teaching in the same room. You can imagine the technology challenges associated with that. It was opened just last Thursday by Prime Minister John Key. Obviously, community is important to us. In fact, strengthening the community is our mission. We do this primarily through education and career development of students so that they're ready for work and they're ready to add value to communities throughout New Zealand. So obviously, we're passionate about education. This is our team. Not too big, not too small. We think we're just right. There's 35 of us, don't try and count, we're not all there. Most of the technical engineers try and hide out on photo op day. So what do we do? Well, rather than go through a full resume of services, that'd be boring, I'll keep it simple. We design, we build, we integrate, we procure, and we support all technology for WinTech. There's a lot of technology, from video projectors to PCs, applications, networks. If it beeps or has bytes or bits, we support it. We do this for 20,000 full and part-time students from over 50 different countries. We also support 950 corporate and academic staff. There's a lot of people and a lot of technology to support for a small or just right-sized team. So now that you know a bit about us, why are we here today? I mean, not in existence. What transformation did we make and why? What was our challenge? We'll begin our story in the year 2011, roughly. Things weren't going so well for us at the time. We had a few problems. Our support backlog of incidents had grown to well over 2,000 or 3,000. We weren't communicating with our community, our customers at WinTech. We were nearly 100% reactive, did very little in terms of value-added initiatives. We weren't happy with ourselves. WinTech, of course, wasn't happy with us. Face of education was changing, and the demands for technology were increasing at a rapid pace. We should have been changing and evolving with it. We should have been trying to get ahead of it. Instead, we were standing still, which in my book is pretty much going backward. So while Christy paints a picture for us of the year 2011, have a listen, see if any of this sounds familiar.
So here's some of our challenges. Does this sound familiar? Bloody ITS. Everything's our fault. The fact that I opened a document and I typed all day and didn't save it, that's ITS's fault. So all we do is get complained about, yeah? We set and forget. We put in a new brand new asset management system one year and then found out a year later that no one was using it. Yep, that was us. No, you can't have access to that. No, you cannot install that. Oh, no, you can't do that. Yeah. Or worse yet, we want to help. So we say, oh, I think I've got a solution for you. But then you go away and you don't have time or money or commitment. And so you don't deliver. Yeah. So we get worked around rather than worked with. And because of those empty promises that we made and always saying no, now we're the last to know about people technology needs and what they're doing with technology. And our tutors and our admin staff start to engage with IT vendors who sell them the world. Yes, vendors, I'm talking about you. And despite all the no's, they still manage somehow to install something or sign up for a new HR system. And why aren't you guys supporting it? You've got great ideas, but they kicked back because the business is too busy telling you what to do. And then finally, you're just seen as a cost rather than adding any value. And you keep getting asked to do more with less. Have we heard that one?
So it's a lot of bad stuff. Well, kind of not bad. That was kind of our normal. I've certainly heard it in other organizations I've worked for. That's certainly how I felt, that IT was oppressed, for lack of a better word. But to sum all that up, technology, while it was believed to be incredibly important for education, incredibly important at WinTech, it wasn't seen as an essential partner with our business. Our technology strategy was unclear. Our capital investment in technology was fragmented. Purchases were being made, as Christy illustrated, by departments at will, just willy-nilly. They go out and buy what they'd like. The end result was our department was seen primarily as a cost center and an overhead. When you're not seen as equal partners to your business, it's impossible to get things approved in a timely manner. It's difficult to demonstrate leadership. We knew what technology could do to improve. We knew what it could do to improve our marketing and our sales capability. We knew what it could do to increase our reach, our conversion rate, basically make us some money. We knew what it could do to improve learning outcomes for our students, which is the most important thing to us. If only we could get ahead of the backlog. 2,000 or 3,000 incidents is a lot. Imagine facing that every day. If only we could get on top of all those urgent demands from the business. So things had to change. We didn't want to spend all of our time fixing shit, basically. We wanted to add more value to our organization. We wanted to flip that triangle the right way up. But where do we start? Christy, help us out.
We needed to reduce complexity, reduce support overheads, and free ourselves up to do more value-added work, like you saw in the triangle. Now, that was our strategy. The two upside down triangles from that to that. And these are the things that we knew we needed to do to get us there. We would consolidate and integrate our systems. Sounds good. We would increase our infrastructure to provide a quality, reliable, responsive experience, regardless of location or campus. We were going to allow for flexible teaching and learning and work to support blended learning for our organization. We needed to access everything on a range of mobile platforms from anywhere in the world. We needed to invest in leading edge technologies and equip our staff with the technologies to modernize teaching and learning in the classroom. And what we really needed to do was get rid of the complexity of having to maintain all this stuff. We needed to take advantage of worldwide expertise in the areas of storage and applications and infrastructure. We needed the cloud. We knew this was our answer. This was the how, and this was what was going to change the game for us. We were certain of our strategy, and we were certain that the cloud was going to help us get there. So, this is what we did.
So we first focused on infrastructure. We knew that if we were going to go to the cloud, we had to make sure that the path to the cloud was as quick efficient and painless as possible for our customers, for people on site, for people working anywhere for WinTech. We knew that slow bandwidth and latency, congestion, things like this were going to be our enemy. So we ordered the biggest pipes we could. 1 gig national times 3, so we've got 3 times redundancy there, 100 meg international bandwidth, 10 gig between our main campuses. We invested heavily in wireless, installing over 300 wireless access points throughout our campuses, enough to support thousands of Apple TVs, Mac Minis, desktops, phones, tablets, you name it. And it paid off because our current daily concurrent, I love this bit, daily concurrent connections are up from 250 users back in 2011 to now over 2,000. We peak out around 6,500 concurrent connections. The way we see it, Wi-Fi enables everything. Connection, our connectivity to the internet is everything for us. It's our business now, more important than any than it ever has been in the past. So then we set about shifting our physical infrastructure. We had a little data center on site. We wanted to shift that to the cloud. We had about 300 physical servers. We now have, a couple years later, we now have around 90 virtual servers. And those, that varies up and down from week to week, really, because our dev and test instances, we fire those up as we need them. So now, someone else has to worry about the hardware. We don't have to worry about it. We can leverage world-leading economies of scale and expertise. We also wanted people to be able to use their own devices for their studies or for their work, not our kit. Why don't you use your kit? We like the idea so much that we offer an incentive. We'll give you $750 if you hand us back your laptop and you can go out and buy your own. It's called the staff-owned laptop scheme. So we'll basically reimburse you $750 towards purchase of anything you'd like. The idea of that was, one, we could spread our aging desktop fleet around, our aging laptop fleet around a bit. But most importantly, it encourages our community to get interested in technology, interested in, and more accountable for the technology that they actually use. The good news is, if you do this, we'll still support you. Bring it to us, doesn't matter whether it's your device or our device, we'll still support you. None of this investment that we made was about saving money. And it certainly wasn't about taking control. We did this in order to make our organization more agile.
Delivery of applications needed to change. Installing applications to a desktop is stupid. What do you think about that? We needed to implement software as a service. We needed software accessible from any device, anywhere. Here's some of the applications that we've started using in the last few years. On our SharePoint platform, we allow our users to do anything. They are the admins of their sites. They play, they learn, they create, they build. They make forms and lists, they automate their solutions, they collaborate with teams in China and Saudi Arabia using project team sites in Yammer. They set things up and they ask us when they need some help. All our documents, files, information, it's all in document libraries in SharePoint, Office 365 now, or our OneDrive for Business. We can do our work from anywhere. I don't log into a network. I don't need to log into a network. The internet is my network, and I use my staff-owned device, and I can work from anywhere. Concept searching's up there. We use concept search to classify our documents. Our users don't have to enter metadata. Has everyone ever had to enter metadata? What a stupid thing to do. We use systems. We use the systems to do what systems are good at. Consistently classifying documents based on a set of rules, much more consistently than if we asked 10 people to do it. Yeah. CRM Dynamics is another one that we use throughout our business. We manage leads, we track opportunities, we use click dimensions to understand behaviors. Zendesk. We use Zendesk in our information technology services team to manage incidents and requests. We use Zendesk in our facilities team to log work requests. We use Zendesk in our student enrollment center to manage student inquiries. And with this, we get free benchmarking and analytics, and it's just amazing. With all this, we don't customize anymore. We had SharePoint on-premise, SharePoint 2010 on-premise, and we thought we were being really clever. We made this cool little web part called My Favorites. And the web part was on the page wherever you went, and you could add your favorites to the web part 30 grand later and upgrade to Office 365. We can't use that anymore, so we have stopped custom development, and we use the applications out of the box. Another thing we did is we stopped giving our community a say in the technology. We took the budget back. We took all that software budget, and now they had to come and talk to us. They had to come and tell us what they thought they needed, and then we went away and we said, here you go, this is what you can use. Here's some technology that will suit what you're trying to do and suit what we're trying to do. Nothing. Which, Brad, it's your turn. Cool.
Excellent. Thanks, Christy. So we've talked a bit about how we changed our infrastructure. It's about getting to the internet as quickly as possible. We've talked about our applications now, software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service. We've got 90. Code Blue are here. They look after those servers for us. They monitor. I'll acknowledge that. We don't have to worry about that stuff. But what about us? What happened to us in all of this? Because that's mostly what this is. What this little discussion here is about. It's about people and it's about behaviors. So there's a whole bunch of words up here. I can't see it, but all these words mean something to us. All these terms. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you about Agile and about how to do Agile and all that kind of stuff. That's been done many, many times. But I want to tell you how we changed. First of all, we did a lot of training, tons of training. We trained up on positive psychology. What do we got here? Coaching. We trained up on quiet leadership, it's all about coaching. It's about all about how to be a leader. We learned about emotional intelligence. These are everybody in our department, not just the managers or the team leads. We're talking software engineers, we're talking infrastructure and architecture engineers. You can imagine how they loved that. But they did. They went through that training. They learned how to talk to our customer. They got new skills. They learned a new vocabulary. Some phrases, though, that you won't hear in our vocabulary are things like, that's too expensive. We can't possibly afford that. We don't have enough time to do that. We're too busy to do that. Those are phrases we've kind of worked out of our vocabulary because we think about things now with a no constraints attitude. The only constraint is our own thinking. So if something is expensive, we'll have a look. Is there something that can do the similar job that doesn't cost quite as much? Or is it really too expensive? Is it really too expensive to spend $200,000 on some critical network equipment? Sounds like a lot of money for one piece of gear. But if that gets you to the internet quicker and saves a lot of time and hassle, and people can take advantage of the technology that's sitting out there that people like Microsoft provide, then $200,000 is a drop in a lake. So we kind of removed those constraints from our thinking and thought about how we can focus on solutions instead of problems. Other words you won't hear in a vocabulary are words like governance. Christy gave a talk recently at the SharePoint conference, and she actually said governance, shmovernance, or something like that. PMI, Prince2, CMM, CMMI. We don't follow those methodologies. There's nothing wrong with them at all. They just don't align with our behaviors now. And it's not that we're agile everything either. It's just that those sorts of concepts don't work quite the same, don't work quite as well for us because, again, we prefer to focus on exploiting opportunities, focus on successes rather than trying to contain and avoid failure. So that's a big deal for us. Accountability is another big deal. We hold ourselves accountable. If we cause a problem, as humans we make a mistake, we do it all the time, but if it causes an incident that maybe there's an outage or something on our network because we haven't done something, kept something up to date, We'll go right through to root cause. We'll put in place an action for that, and we will follow up on that action. And we'll let our community know, our customers, we'll let them know that that's what happened. That's just how we roll. We do the same, though, with the people that we work with, the business units that we work with at WinTech. We hold them accountable as well, because they're accountable for student outcomes. They're accountable for finance. They're accountable for HR, all sorts of other types of outcomes. And if we can see that a business process isn't working, we'll actually stop and question them about it, and we won't let them off the hook. Because they'll as you can probably understand, they'll try and blame technology for certain problems, but we'll always kind of put it back in their court and say, well, there's always a way around. There's always a way to work around the failing technology, or maybe the technology itself works. You just didn't learn quite enough about it. So we're not trying to be stroppy with these guys. We're just trying to help and get to that root cause. Our technology partners are also held accountable, including Microsoft. They're our biggest technology partner with our shift to Office 365 and CRM Dynamics. At least half of our business runs on Microsoft technology now, based out of Singapore and other places we don't know. We have to hold them accountable as well. We demand that they go to root cause diagnosis on events that impact us. We demand that they put an action in place to follow up on that, and it works. We then started talking to our customers. We spend the day walking in their shoes, trying to understand what it is that they do, trying to understand what the outcomes are that are important to them. We don't talk about technology at all. We don't ask them what are their requirements, because everybody knows when you ask someone what their requirements are, they come up with a blooming shopping list. We're not into that. We're into understanding what will make the lives of students better at WinTech. One of the questions that we ask them is, what would they do for WinTech or for our students if money and time weren't an issue? And you'd be amazed at some of the answers that come up when people can take those constraints away from their thinking, and they go, well, I really could help students if we could just do something like this. And it won't be a technology thing. It'll be a way of teaching, or it'll be a way of arranging a classroom or something of that nature. We take that information away and use it in our delivery planning cycle every year. So we try and interpret or look at those benefits that they'd like to see realized, and we try and come up with some options around that and say, what could we do with technology to help? And sometimes we come up with ideas that have nothing to do with technology, and we'll share that. We'll share that with our community. Then we overhauled our delivery methodology completely. Down the right-hand side there, that is as complex as our delivery methodology gets. That's how we run our projects. We spend a little bit of time assessing the opportunity. And what that means for us is, are there some benefits to be gained here for WinTech or our students? If there are, then yep, we have an opportunity to do something. And that's just if you want to break it down into what that looks like, it's just maybe one side of a sheet of paper. It's just a short form exercise that we go through to identify what the likely cost might be and what the likely benefit might be. You could call it a feasibility study, but it's not quite that complex. We then go into looking at options. We always look at least three options for how we might how we might deliver a benefit or deliver some outcomes. We'll always look at cloud. And we'll always look at least one option to build it as a bespoke solution. So while Christy said earlier that we don't do bespoke, we don't build custom, we'll always put an option together that looks like a custom option, because we want to make sure that we understand how we would build it. So if the solution was an HR system, how would we build that? And once we understand how we think we might build it, we then obviously throw a price tag on that, which is, a swag or a wag. It's going to be totally unscientific. But we'll compare that with the other options, cloud and maybe a purchase piece of software option. And we look at those. We use a couple of models, simple models of TCO over 4 or 5 years, total cost of ownership. Or sometimes we'll look at ROI, return on investment, depending on what type of solution we're looking for. The other interesting thing is that all throughout this process, there's no PMO involved. There's no project management office. We do all of this in IT. We make those decisions. We don't have to go to the chief executive. We don't have to go to the CFO. We don't have to go to anybody else for approval. If we decide this project has merit, if we decide that the benefits actually do stack up in comparison to maybe 50 other or 100 other ideas, we'll execute that project because we have all the budget. I can tell you, most of our organization, some are jealous. Most people, it pisses them off that IT have all that budget and that we can make those decisions ourselves. So it requires, that's why we did all that training about positive psychology and how to sell, how to coach. We do a lot of that. So finally, we get to outcomes. If the costs stack up, just quickly on costs, another interesting thing, when we do our estimations for how much a project might cost, we literally look at it and say, how much do we think it's worth? If a project is worth, if the benefits of a project are worth spending at least $50,000 or $500,000, that's the estimate for the project. That's the budget that we give it. And I know it probably sounds very amateurish to most people and totally against what you'd normally do, but it works for us, and you'd be amazed how many times we're pretty damn close. We don't go through a big, long story-pointing exercise. We don't go through any of the traditional estimation frameworks. We just look at it and say, I'd spend $200,000 on that, and I think that would return value well over and above $200,000. That's what it feels like it's worth. So we've delivered in the past 2 years 72 projects that way from 35 people. So Jamie's seen the the spreadsheets and he's seen Project Server where we track all this. So I'm pretty proud of it. I'm proud of the team. It's awesome. It's actually awesome the amount of benefits we've delivered. Oh, by the way, 223 benefits so far is the count that we have. We keep track of all the benefits we deliver. I feel like James Whitaker, the big big sky about what we're doing, but I am very proud of what the team does. So anyway, did all this technology and behavioral change deliver any real results? Some I just articulated, but Christy's got some detail.
I do. So here's some of the things we have been able to do in the past couple of years from moving to the cloud. We've been able to make some cool stuff. Oh, we have Link. We don't have a PBX anymore. So we communicate with 20,000 students and 800 staff all over Link. No more phones. We made a student allocator system. We worked with someone to do this. So we there's some nursing students. There's 600 of them that go on placements to district health boards. This used to be managed by one lady putting students on placements and emailing over 30 different health providers. Now it's a system where students can log in and self-select their placements. We have a mobile attendance app. We had an attendance piece of software that we created years ago, and the tutor could log in the classroom and take attendance. We made a mobile app out of this. Our tutors don't just teach in the classroom. They teach down at the river or on a construction site, so it's important they can whip out their phone and just with a few clicks of the button take some attendance. Like I said, this is one of our SharePoint sites that was created by our events team manager. He's got custom calendars for all of his event venues. All the information about their business, about the event venues, is on the site. They have they schedule all their staff. They use task lists. Here's some short course applications internally. We have a short course application process that used to be manual. Our business and planning and development unit created the short course process online. They created the forms. They created the approval workflows. Just one more example, our quality and academic unit. This is their team site. They track committee. They track projects. They have specialist information. They track committee, academic approval committee, and approval board meeting minutes and action items. They have project sites for the different projects they work in. They have a faculty site, so every school or centre in the faculty come to their site and they can click in and they can see their action plans around quality. And this, all this stuff, and we've got hundreds more examples, was built by our community just with a little bit of training and support, and freaked out so we could be free to do other cool stuff. Like, this is our new trades and engineering building. This is one of the classrooms. You will see some TVs around the place. They are called COWS, computers on wheels. So it's just a big TV like this. It's got a Mac Mini on the back running Windows. It's got an Apple TV on it. They're all in the classroom. The tutor just walks through the class. The students are sitting in groups doing project-based learning and working with their screen. If the tutor has something interesting on his iPad, he'll bung it up on all the screens or just to one of the screens. If one of the students has something really interesting on their laptop, click a button, beam it to the screen. Oh, I want to share it with the whole class. Sweet. Mirror that to all the TVs in the room. So this is a great, and these things are all over the place. This is how we teach and learn nowadays. We've just got these TVs everywhere. We've got over 450 Mac Minis and Apple TVs, and they're all communicating over our Wi-Fi infrastructure. So everything's beamed up wirelessly. That's awesome. We won a prize. We won the Microsoft Tertiary Supreme ICT Innovation Award. That was last year for our implementation of Zendesk and CRM in our Student Enrollment and Information Centre. They used to use spreadsheets and emails to manage communications, but we started funneling all the student and lead inquiries through to central queues in CRM and Zendesk. So now they have some consistency, the management have some transparency around what's going on, and they can manage their communications. And we won an award, so that was pretty awesome.
All that stuff's amazing, Christy. Thank you. But don't forget about the crap. You can't have all that good stuff without some challenges, right? Some consequences. First consequence, what's the reality of shifting most of your operations to the cloud? The game has changed. We're no longer the operations team. We have to rely on Microsoft and others who are now our operations team. Who's accountable to our customers? We are, still. We still need to provide secure, robust, and stable systems. Our community relies on it. We can't do business without technology. The difficulty is we have all the accountability, but we have very little ability to administer cloud technology. We don't control planned outages because our operations is not an on-site team. They happen whenever Microsoft or whenever one of our other vendors says they're going to happen. Our operations, I mentioned our operations team isn't on site. Now, we found out that one of our operations team actually works from home in Iowa. That was interesting to find that out. We have to work through several channels just to stay on top of unplanned outages. So no longer can we just get in there and fix it. We have to work with our partners to get that done. We can't just walk away. So if we can't deeply administer our system anymore, what can we do with it as an IT team? What would add value? So that's a question that we asked ourselves. The answer was monitoring. We started monitoring everything. We monitor how our community is using our platforms. So what features are they using the most? Office 365 is a great platform, even as a cloud-based system. We can still get under the covers just enough to find out who's doing what. Are they using OneDrive? We want them to use OneDrive because we're, at the end of the year, turning off our shared drives. We're turning off anything that looks like a network drive. You will no longer have that. You'll have to use OneDrive. Are they still emailing documents instead of sharing them? Emailing documents is bad, even though we have virtually unlimited email storage. Thank you, Microsoft. We still want people sharing documents. Are they yammering? And if they are, what are they yammering about? We don't control anything on Yammer. People can do whatever they want. We're not worried about that. We trust people. We try and set things up where they can make the right decisions, make it easier to do that than try and control the wrong decisions. We're also monitoring to see what people are searching for on the internet, on SharePoint. The reason we do that is so that we can improve search results. Why leave it all up to technology to do that when we can actually get in there and tweak, and we can make those results a little bit more personalized? We also, and the team hates this, but we routinely crawl through CRM data to make sure that people are using CRM correctly. Using CRM correctly is something that a lot of people, I think, would probably love to debate, but we think using CRM correctly means using it to understand who your customers are, what their behaviors are, using CRM to communicate with those customers, and obviously it's a sales tool. It's used to track leads and convert them. It's used to nurture. But we find that a lot of people are still wanting to use CRM as just a glorified contact list. That's not what its purpose is. So we have to go through and look and dig through and see how people are actually using it by looking at the data. We also look for potentially risky behavior on our network and even in our document library. So we look for what people are sharing and who they're sharing it with, just to make sure that we aren't accidentally sharing sensitive information with the outside world, because you can do that. We don't control it, but we do have a look just to make sure to keep an eye. In other words, we're now able to take a much more proactive approach to system administration than we ever could before. What are some of our organizational challenges? Technology is now playing a lead role at WinTech. We're exposing new business challenges every day. Processes that don't work, underperforming business units, people only interested in protecting what they have rather than improving. Hopefully you guys can relate to that, because we hear that all the time. Other people in our organization are actually becoming unsure of their own relevance, because they're used to calling the shots, and they're no longer calling all the shots. That causes a lot of tension. That's the kind word for it. We're releasing so much technology now that people can't keep up. Our organization's struggling to keep pace. We've had to double our training efforts in the past year, and still people feel that they're being left behind. I have empathy for them, absolutely I do. But the fact is, technology does change quickly, especially in the cloud. It changes every couple of weeks if you're on Office 365, and I love that. I love that there's something new almost every time I go in there, but not everybody does. How do you provide customized training when that training is outdated before you can even deliver it? You know, the material that you might bring together for a training course. It'll be outdated because the interface might look different. There might be something new in there. The answer is you don't. Don't train? Maybe sometimes you don't train. So what do? You coach your organization. So that's what we've had to do. We've had to start coaching people in helping themselves. How hard is it to use Bing or Google and just do a quick search about how CRM might work in terms of tracking leads through the pipeline? That's not hard to do. It's amazing how many times we get asked to do that. So we do the Google search or the Bing search, and we might send a video link back to someone and say, this is how you do it, because we don't customize anything. So the material that our technology vendors provide should be good enough for everyone. We also encourage our organization to experiment with technology. Don't be afraid of it. If you break it, we'll bail you out. We'll come and help you fix it. It's a much cheaper is the wrong word, but it's a much less expensive option for us to just let people play around and break stuff, and we'll come in and fix it. They don't actually break stuff as often as you think they might. All that stuff that Christy showed you that people are doing in SharePoint, they did themselves. Christy may have given them a very quick overview at the beginning and shown them how to create a few screens, a little bit about workflows, and they went off and did the rest all by themselves. As a result, even though I make it sound good, some of that, IT is now seen as a threat. We're supposed to be the IT geeks in the basement that do what we're told. Instead, we're out there advising our business on business process change. We're joining the dots between siloed business units, and we're holding people accountable for better outcomes and for their own learning. So how has the team dealt with all this? How have we changed?
we're still the same people. We're still the same team. So we're still the same people that you saw at the slide at the beginning. But we've changed and we've transformed our behaviours and our attitudes. Technology is our business, and we have climbed out of the basement and we have learned to talk to people about it. This transformation has disrupted our business, like Brad said, and it's changed the way we work. So we have had to change our attitudes and our behaviours. We focus on solutions, not problems. We have learnt to negotiate. We have learnt to sell our ideas, not because we have to, because we own the budget, but because we want our community to come on the journey with us. We work alongside our business to help solve their problems. We are trainers, we are consultants, we are coaches. We have learnt to trust our community, and they trust us now more than they ever did before.
So now you know our story. That was it. You've seen where we were, the challenges that we had in front of us. Hopefully you've seen that. Hopefully we've articulated that well enough. You've seen the approach that we took to transform and who we are today. We didn't talk a lot about cloud technology, what it is, how much it costs. Jamie can talk to you about that. Or even how to move on-premise systems and data into the cloud. From our experience, those things are easy. Easy to learn, easy to talk about, easy to do. You just need a credit card, right? The reality is, though, it takes a lot of planning, effort, and support to get there. And you absolutely need to change your behaviors as a team and as an organization. You need the support of your chief executive, absolutely. You need a strategy, you need a story, and you need ambition. But the rewards are absolutely worth it. I hope you could see that with what we've done. What we haven't done yet, though, is told you where we are at the moment. Where? So how far have we come? Well, we're halfway through a 3-year cloud-first strategic plan. So yes, we did get a strategy together. It is cloud-first. Doesn't mean cloud-only, just cloud-first. We review the plan regularly. If the industry changes or market changes or the needs of our students change, we'll change it. We'll change the plan. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the beauty of cloud. We can change. Thank you very much for listening to our story. Christy and I look forward to meeting up with you in the hub and at happy hour later.
Yeah, so we've got some related content. We've got some case studies online. There's a presentation that I did at the SharePoint conference. We got all our images from openclipart.org, and Brad will be at happy hour later. Here's some resources that you might want to look at. And if you liked our presentation, complete the evaluation. If you didn't, don't even worry about it. Thanks very much.